Love thee, dearest, love thee, yes, by yonder star I swear.
About an hour after we were married, we were sitting down to our expensive wedding breakfast, and Dermot ordered a fry. I thought then I'd made a mistake, but I hoped he was just showing off, so I made a joke of it.
Maisie was always unusual, very refined and lovely looking. A shop assistant, but a cut above. Even in Egypt could see that.
After we'd been married a month or so, Dermot stopped going to Mass. He just wouldn't get out of the bed on Sunday, and that was that. He never went again.
I couldn't take to our family, especially her old mother, Four Eyes, in the old grey cardigan, limping around with her rosary beads, giving me leave to call her Mammy.
Mammy, how I love you, how I love you, my dear old Mammy.
Maisie, I said, keep her clear for me, or be Jesus, I lose me temper.
They say you can tell a lot about a man by the way he treats his mother. Dermot wouldn't have his at the wedding, and won't have mine in the house at all. Sure, that's unnatural going on. Anyone can see that. And Mammy's so generous giving us the table.
Her whole family getting me nerves. A real bunch of know-alls and holy joes. Her sisters think she married Benita. And didn't a lot of them go to school in their bare feet? Her mother speaks French, for all the good it does her.
I didn't notice till after what a rough crowd he went round with. Big, coarse-looking fellas in cheap suits. All great talk in a pub, but not at ease in a front room. They're not what I'd in mind, I must say. And I only dined to be a hostess. Wouldn't you think a man who had his own firm would prefer more refined companionship? Well, I won't be mixing with their wives.
Maisie went home for her first confinement, so her mother could be in on the act. The old bitch couldn't wait to phone with the news. 'Twas a blue baby, Dermot. Sure, he never even cried. But I had him baptised them before he died.
I went back to Dublin on the train on my own.
Maisie!
But Dermot was there to meet me.
Don't be whinging now, ducks. You're not the first woman in the world to lose a baby.
The house was a pigsty. All bottles and butts. He'd had his friends in. Spongers, the lot of them.
Her mother rode in from the west. A vision of holiness in black and grey. Her bun bristling with piety. Musha, Dermot, says she. Let us kneel in prayer. And she followed me up the stairs. Didn't I swing around by accident and send her flying? Black over grey over black over grey.
Jesus, Mammy.
For a minute, I thought we lost her. Then the silent heap on the landing stirred, and up rose the black and grey Vatican board.
God help us.
She'd set her heart on a fur coat. A Persian lamb, if memory serves, but it wasn't enough to buy it. Then she had to be seen in it. The cocktail bar in the Shelbourne was the venue she had in mind. She looked great in the old fur coat. A couple of the boys arrived and we joined them inside for a bite.
I'll never forgive him as long as I live. Oh, the pig, the disgusting pig, in the grill room at the Shelbourne with everybody watching. I whispered, would he help me into my new fur coat? And the pig dropped it over my head. A gag to amuse his pals. Over my head. May God forgive him.
Our next kid was a girl. And the one after. And then the third one was a girl as well. You'd swear she was doing it to spite me. They were all right when they were babies, but the minute they could backcha, they got me nerves. The lot of them.
We've moved again. Our third house. He never wants to settle down anywhere. But the neighbours here are a better class. Especially Mrs. O'Flaherty. She's a great one for the fortune-telling, but at the same time now she doesn't get too familiar.
Maisie's found a friend to her taste. A Mrs. O'Flaherty from up the road. A real old bitch if you want my opinion. Never misses mass and can't have a cup of tea without reading the leaves and making a big production out of it.
Dermot's drinking in earnest now. It makes him snore in his sleep. He shows no interest at all in being a family man. Bought a two-seater car, for example. Isn't it a pity they don't make a car with one seat? I can imagine what the neighbours are saying.
Will I tell you Maisie's idea of heaven? Heaven on earth for Maisie. To go for a spin in the car on a Sunday. When the world is asleep after its Sunday dinner, she wants a family spin.
No interest at all in being a father. He says they're his and he'll feed them and pay their school fees. But that's where he draws the line.
I'll tell you what we do to oblige Mrs. O'Flaherty. On Sundays, the five of us get in the car. A squash, but it doesn't matter because when we get around the corner, I'll drop them all off. Maisie and the kids will go to mass and where I go is me own affair.
The disgrace of Dermot. Drinking on a Sunday. When he knows it upsets me so much. One week, I walked past the pub just to see was it crowded. An idiot playing the accordion. Children eating crisps in the gutter and himself in treating the scroungers.
I can see now that I'd have been better off for a common one. Her ladyship wants me to eat salad cream. I mean, I easy it enough to please when a fry will do me every night, but no, nothing will do her but private schools and salad cream.
I'm not saying Dermot is common. Sure, that would reflect on myself. Didn't I choose him when I'd many a choice? But all the same, there's an oddness in a man who'd rather starve than eat anything different. Fry. Fry. Every night, a fry.
I'm not a man who likes to get rough. But in certain situations, I can see why it's necessary. Such as Maisie dictating to me what I'll eat. And making a mockery of me. In front of the kids.
My family were right when they said he was beneath me. And when my mother said he'd a vicious streak, she must have been having one of her premonitions. Dermot hit me this morning. For no reason at all. And when one of the kids screamed, didn't he hit her too, the bully?
Maisie's moved into the spare room. I can imagine who put her up to it. I'm not a great philosopher, but this I'll tell you. The curse of the Irish is the mothers.
Lying there on my own, with himself snoring in the next room, I realised I'd missed the boat entirely. Wasn't I a fool to be taken in by his sweet talk? Wasn't I 26 and had no one else proposed to me? It's just that marriage isn't at all how I thought would be. I'd visions of us going to the pictures, drinking Ovaltine in front of the fire, and on a wet Sunday, the kids and their dad playing Snap in the attic. Sure, wasn't I a country girl when all's said and done? An innocent young one from Galway. Snap in the attic, my eye.
She's still hiding out up above. But I've a plan of my own. The boys will be around for a couple of jars, and we'll soon see who's boss when I order the sandwiches.
Dermot brought back half the pub, singing in Irish, "The Great Patriots." I had to come down in my dressing gown and make them their sandwiches. Big common clods with their oily heads.
I married Maisie for her modesty, but I didn't think it would go on forever. You can't as much get a kiss over until the curtains are closed, and we living at the top of a hill. Maybe, shishy, there'll be a helicopter passing. You'd need the patience of a saint, I'm telling you.
There isn't an opera Dermot can't sing, or a book he hasn't read. He could recite whatever you like backwards without taking a breath. So isn't it a wonder he has such peculiar ideas? According to him, the Pope's a waste of time, Shakespeare was a Dublin man, and Princess Margaret is Jewish. Some things are better not told, for fear that some fool would imitate them, resulting in twice the unhappiness. But between ourselves, Dermot went too far last night. He followed me into the children's room, picked up their potty from under the bed, and... No. Some things are better left unsaid.
When is a hat a potty? When it's underneath a bed. And when is a potty a hat? When it's on a mother's head.
God forgive him.
What did I tell you about that O'Flaherty one? What did I tell you? Didn't the rip call the police when I raised me voice in the privacy of me own home? If she sets foot in this house again, I won't be responsible.
The disgrace. The disgrace of it. The whole street up, with its ears cocked. The children screaming. And the Garda arriving in the van. They pushed Dermot down the stairs ahead of them. Head over heels, over head over heels. He didn't stir for a second or two. And I wondered if I'd mind if he was dead. Next thing he was up, bawling and kicking. "Bastards," says he, and the kids listening. Oh, the disgrace of it. The disgrace.
Met a grand fella in the station last night. In for drunk driving. And a baby powers in his sock. Sure, we'd a great time, talking our heads off. "Dermot," says he, "isn't the Catholic faith a wonderful institution? The way it stops our wives from abandoning us." Oh, we had a good laugh over that. And I told him what Maisie said when the Garda manhandled me. "Careful, careful. He's not a well man." Oh, I'll tell you something. I'm still her Ofla. For all her airs and graces.
I pity him, in spite of myself. Running around, buying friends. Sure, popularity is something you're born with. He'll never see that. Fionnuala, our middle one's a lot like him. Stubborn as a mule, with ideas of her own. A dreamer, if ever there was one. Una, the eldest, is like a closed book. Never gets herself too excited. The house could be on fire. Dermot could be murdering me. And Una would be found with her nose in Treasure Island. Eilish, the youngest, seems a straightforward child.
Maisie's always going on about family outings, nagging away like a squeaking chalk. So I said I'd take Fionnuala to the air show. Now, I'm sorry to say this about me own flesh and blood, but the kid hasn't an iota of personality. Silent as a tomb on the journey out, giving me sly looks every 2 minutes, didn't want sweets or ice creams, and wouldn't go on the bus helicopter after I'd laid out a pound. Not an experience I care to repeat.
Have you ever heard of a man who'll admit he doesn't like his own children? The kids next door are better looking. The kids up the road are more intelligent. The kids down the lane are better company. The kids round the corner can take a joke. Is it any wonder his own keep from getting under his feet?
Let me make this perfect clear. Boarding school was as much her idea as mine. The same plan for different reasons.
'Twill give them the stability a child needs.
'Twill give me the independence a man needs. So off they went with their three long faces. Isn't it a wonder a character like me would get kids like them? Sure, that's genes gone daft entirely.
Dermot went to London on a holiday and stayed so long I thought I was separated. Then one night he phoned, a trunk call, from England, begging me would I come over.
I was wondering,
says he,
would you like to come over and see a few sights?
I might,
says she.
And I mightn't. How do I know I'd be welcome?
I'm only ringing up to invite you,
says he.
Take it or leave it, I've got to go. Are you coming or aren't you?
Oh, I am so, yeah.
The face on Maisie when she saw London. The big round eyes of her. She always dressed well by instinct. And to see her strolling in Bond Street, you'd never say she was a Galway girl. She could have been anybody. We linked our arms and had our photo taken.
At my age, I thought it was the change beginning. But then I got definite signs. His nibs is delighted. Though I'm sad to say it'll be a 5 minute wonder like the other three were. But you never know. A person can always count on Dermot to be unpredictable.
He's a little fella with a big red face, blonde hair and a bawling mouth. The image myself. The bloody image. If you could hear the Egypt's name she wanted to call about, I popped me foot down and had me say. Ted is his name, and Ted is what he'll stay.
He was never like this over the others. Let's hope it lasts. I won't say he feeds him or bats him or anything, but I've seen him looking into the cot with this silly expression on his face, God help us.
All of a sudden, after being me own boss for donkey's years, everything's gone rotten. Wasn't I making the best electrical fire elements in Ireland? And didn't a German bastard set up in competition? And wouldn't I be as well off, or better, on a salary in London? She'll have to forget about ponies and private schools. Let the brats go and find themselves jobs.
The disgrace of living in London. In a place like this. Not fit for a family of one, let alone six. The landlord goes around in this grey-looking vest, and I'm ashamed to wheel Ted in his pram. And the girls are in jobs, and they still children. Oh, Jesus, Mary and Joseph, hear my prayer. God, hear my prayer, if there is a God. May God forgive me.
You grow up automatically disliking the English, but you only find out why you hate them when you have to live among them. They haven't their sense of humour, and they think all the wrong things are important.
I'll never hold my head up again. We're the laughing stock of the street. Dermot called in Meals on Wheels just to embarrass me. And a social worker, a young one with big brown eyes, straight from the Bible, wouldn't believe 'twas a joke.
Now, I may not be a philosopher, but I can tell you this. The poetry in a man's soul is more important than the size of his bank balance. Isn't it true? Better the boarding flight than the dead turkey. The laughter in a man's heart is worth twice as much as the food in his stomach.
If we had money, they'd say he was eccentric. But when you're hard up, they call it unbalanced. The landlord gave us notice. And Dermot says it's up to the state to see that we're housed.
I've been paying them tax all me life,
says he. And we only in England 6 months. And I think of my childhood in the country. The big wardrobes, the family at mass with Mammy and Daddy. And my four brothers with their thick hair and suntanned legs, like the Kennedys. And here am I in last year's court, amongst common people, and I always so refined. Dermot's gone off. Not a word. Not a care for his family. Not even for Ted.
Rough patch. Rough patch. A drop of John Jameson on the brain. Of course, Maisie was always reliable. She managed to find us a place. Nothing you'd want to take snaps of, but adequate till I recover my health. Una's gone to America. Fionnuala has gone to Australia. Eilish has gone to the Hebrides. Just me wife, me boy, myself, and a bit of peace and prosperity. DV.
I'm not saying he's suddenly become the ideal husband, devoted Catholic or the perfect father. But things are more peaceful with the girls gone. Although, frankly, they could have made their point without going so far. Australia, America, the Hebrides, my eye. Wouldn't elsewhere in London have had the same effect? I can imagine what the neighbours are saying.
I'm a sick man, all right. More or less stuck in me room for the moment. Emphysema, says the quack in his old English accent. Caused by years of smoking 60 a day. It can gallop or creep, says he. The rate of progress is up to you. Smoking is out of the question. Maisie, says I, and he's still at the door. Bring an ashtray and matches in here, please.
Ted was killed in a road accident. He went through the door with his big innocent face smiling goodbye and never came back, the lamb. Dermot hasn't moved from his room. Isn't it desperately sad? And Ted his favourite.
Me daughters married husbands just like themselves. Dull fellas, lacking in personality. Fionnuala was home for Ted's funeral. I did me best to get a rise out of her husband, butcher. Nothing had budged that type. Smug as a bug and a bloody old rug.
The excitement is over. No more phone calls, visitors. Letters of condolence. Fionnuala went home looking older than 30. She was very fond of Ted, God help us.
They'll hospitalise me over my dead body. If a person is sick, the last thing he wants is a bunch of Jamaicans experimenting on him. I'll stay where I am. Me own home. And if me children can't bother to write to me, even a card. That's their concern.
Just myself and himself again, and two television sets. Our usual meal is a fry. Our favourite drink is tea. There isn't much left to argue about. When there's something good on the telly, I'll give him a signal for fear he'd miss it, watching the wrong channel. I tap on the wall with the head of the tongs. One tap for BBC One. Two taps for BBC Two. Three taps for ITV. Of course, they'd have to be landing on the moon before he'd signal me, but that's Dermot for you. Though, an odd time, he'll call me in when he feels like an audience.
Are you listening? Three of us. I suppose we were 17 or so. Hijacked a bus from the terminus. We chose a route and off we went. Real tiffles. When the passengers got on at the bus stops, we asked their destination and told them the fare. A gumdrop, missus. A two eggs. A Mars Bar's Fireballs Bridge. I never had such gas. We took everyone right to their doorstep. They thought it was bloody Christmas. Sure, it's the new tramway's policy to be more obliging, missus, says I to an L1. I never had such gas.
One evening late, when our TVs were off, I heard Dermot singing to himself.
Darling, you are
I went in.
Growing old. Silver thread among the gold.
We looked at each other. The first time we'd looked at each other in years.
What are you gawping at?
Says he.
I'm a night singing to me reflection in the wardrobe mirror.
Are you so?
Says she.
And your hair is stubborn as red as it ever was.
I'd rather die than write to any of those brats. Bad cess to them. They'll be sorry when it's too late. Bad cess to the lot of them.
Like it or not, he was taken to the hospital. Oxygen tent and all. At visiting time, he whispered to me.
Will you loosen the sheets at the end of the bed? Before me feet go gangrene.
The nurse said no. The sheets must stay tucked in the interest of neatness and hygiene.
This is the place where his nibs, Douglas Bader, had his wooden legs screwed on. He has his plaque stuck up in the entrance hall. Should the English make heroes of people on the slightest excuse? Didn't many a fella lose his legs in shunting accidents, for example? And not a word about it. But you die laughing in this place. All day long, the inmates tell stories about their wives. But when visiting time comes, there they are, holding hands and kissing each other. And talking rubbish in whispers.
I was always relieved when the bell rang. Because to tell you the truth, Dermot and I found it difficult to chat for an hour. He was very weak the last time. Too weak to start an argument even. And when the bell rang and I stood up, he kept his eyes closed and tapped his cheek with his finger. At first I thought he was telling me something about shaving or toothache, but he went on tapping till I leaned down and kissed the spot. and that was the last I saw of him. I'd feel like a stranger in Ireland now, so I may as well stay where I am. Without Dermot to say I'm putting on, I get on well with the English and have many a visitor in. I spend holidays with my daughters whenever I like, and their husbands are welcome here. The house is as clean as a new pin, with never the smell of a fry. Yet, sometimes, when there's something worthwhile on the television, I find myself knocking on the wall with the head of the tongs. One tap for BBC One. Two taps for BBC Two. Three taps for ITV.
Like him, my truth will shine. And love thee, dearest, love thee. Yes, till death I'm death.